This is NPR News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. House Republicans are taking up another drought relief bill for California's Farm Belt and other water users to the south. The new effort is advertised as a temporary measure that would allow agencies to divert water from northern rivers and reservoirs during the rainy season and send it to farms in the San Joaquin Valley, where hundreds of thousands of acres went unplanted and untended this year. A vote is expected today. More than 99% of California remains in a moderate or severe drought. The World Bank today cut Russia's economic outlook for the next 2 years to reflect a decline in oil prices. It is the second time the bank has cut Russia's economic outlook for 2015 in a week, and its third cut since the end of September. Under its new baseline, the World Bank forecasts the Russian economy will contract by 0.7% in 2015. China officials today say a large volume of corn in the main growing area in China has gone moldy because state granaries have delayed stockpiling and there is a lack of storage space. The state stockpiler, the China Grain Reserves Corporation, said a high incident of mold has resulted from abnormally wet and hot weather during the growing period. Moldy corn cannot be used for most animal feed production. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 17,698, is down 154 points. The NASDAQ 4237 is down 47, and the S&P 500 is 2039, and it is down 20 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Dave. Speaking of California today, there is a large storm system that will be hitting the Central Valleys as we move from Thursday into Friday of this week. Some 1 to 3 inch rains will likely occur in the Sacramento Valley, while the northern portions of the San Joaquin Valley will see some 1 to 2 inch amounts. The Sierra Nevada still don't have a great deal of snow in the mountains there, and that is going to continue even with this big storm system coming inland, and the reason for that is all the warmth that's still prevailing in the western part of the United States. In the meantime, back here at home, we do have a little disturbance that's still hanging out over the eastern parts of the region. A lot of fog out there this morning in the eastern Midwest, and looks like temperatures are kind of chilly, but certainly warm for this time of the year, I suppose, with a lot of 30s being reported across the region. Some 20s around in the western Corn Belt. We do have some light northwesterly breezes across a fair amount of the Midwest, a lot of cloud cover, a little bit of shower activity occurring in a hit-and-miss fashion across portions of the region. Well, the disturbance that's responsible for the cloudiness and the dreary weather, a little bit of shower activity, will hang on for the day today. We will see a little bit of precipitation in Ohio, Indiana, parts of Kentucky, maybe a few locations northward into Michigan. The precipitation is not expected to be very impressive, though, running just a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to maybe 15 hundredths of an inch in a few locations. The precipitation will just be an aggravation for the most part. But it is the last little disturbance for a little while, and a big warming trend is expected to get underway across the region already. Temperatures in the western Corn Belt are expected to rise well above average as we move to the end of this week. The afternoon temperatures today across the Midwest will still be somewhat chilly. A lot of 20s and 30s in the western Corn Belt, and the east will probably see 30s and 40s. Remember, we'll have a lot of cloudiness around in the eastern belt, so it's one of the reasons why we won't see anything warmer, but the temperatures are a little higher there than in the west. As we move into the day on Wednesday, we'll likely see 30s and 40s across a big part of the Midwest, but that's the last of the chillier days. Watch out in the western portions of the Corn Belt. We'll see temperatures getting into the 50s and 60s by the time we get to Friday. It will not surprise me at all to see some temperatures over 70 degrees in parts of Kansas and western Missouri, as we get to the peak of the warm weather on Saturday. The eastern Midwest, though, will likely see temperatures in the 40s and 50s, and will probably come up into some lower 60s by the time we finish out the weekend in the eastern parts of the region. The low temperatures at night will be correspondingly warm here, with readings rising up over time, but it's still going to be nippy across the region tonight. A lot of teens in 20s likely. It looks like as we go into the morning on Thursday, also some teens in 20s, but then we'll be warming into some 30s and 40s after that. Down in South America, it still looks like we're going to continue to see favorable conditions across the majority of Brazil and Argentina. There is still a good environment for crop development in both countries. I think we'll see temperatures mostly in a seasonable range. There's a little pocket of dryness in Paraguay and some far southernmost parts of Brazil. It may fester for a little while, but it's not likely to generate enough interest to send our prices around the world higher. It looks like the bottom line is going to be a good production season in Brazil, at least from the current two-week forecast and what's going on in the soil right now. In Argentina, we do have some drying tendencies in the southwest. That will likely prevail as well as we move forward through this next 10 days. If anybody in South America is going to have a little bit of an issue with dryness, it will probably be southwestern Argentina. They do produce some corn there and a little sunseed, but it's not going to impact the oilseed market. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter December wheat is 629 down 6. March, 631 and a half down 7 and 3 quarters. Now it's down 8. December wheat, the soft variety, a 606 down 4. March, 590 and 3 quarters, down 7 and a quarter. December corn, trading 379 and a half up 2. March, 392 and a quarter up 2. May, $4 and 3 quarters up 2. And July, at 407 and a quarter, is up 2. January soybeans, 1045 and 3 quarters, now 46 up 2 and a quarter. March, 1051 and 3 quarters, 51 and a quarter now. Now a half at 1 3/4, now 1.5. May beans are 10.57, they're up 1. July, 10.61, up 1/4. December soybean meal, $404.50, up $3. December soybean oil, $31.59, down 18. December live cattle is 161.10, down 35. January feeders, 231.52.5, down 35. December lean hogs, 86.85, and they are up 27.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we're reaching some key overhead resistance numbers after the corn and beans have rallied in recent days. Any optimism in Bates Commodities that we might push through those levels?
Well, the USDA report tomorrow has helped drag things up because of things that people think they might say, and they might tighten bean supplies in the U.S. a little by lowering yields and or lowering acres and or raising the usage of exports. So those could help raise the beans, and it's helped bring them back to where we're at. Corn, they could lower yields a little or acres a little, but they also could lower usage a little. The exports have been slowing down, so the report tomorrow has helped drag it higher. We'll see what that says, and depending on what it says, we could go higher or lower. Today, we've just been mixed. Corn up 4, down 3. Beans up 5 to down 5. Wheat's been down 9. It made a big roar in the last week, up over $6, and back right back down below it. So mixed to sideways till we see the report tomorrow.
Generally, the market has been sideways since, what, mid-October?
Correct, yes.
So we've tried both ends of the range. When news finally breaks, which end of the range would you suspect that it would break to?
It depends on what the news is. If the news is bullish, we'll go up. If it's not bullish, we'll go back down. And, you know, we had the big run-up during the biggest harvest of all time. Corn was up $1.80. Beans were up 65 to 70. We dropped $1.05 of that off in beans in a short period of time, and now we've bounced to where we're only down 40 to 50 off those highs. Corn dropped 25 to 30, gained most of that back. we're only 5 to 10 off those highs that we made during that harvest boom up.
One of the talking points has been, will corn acres be lower? And part of this is because FSA numbers are not reflecting the same numbers that NAS is reflecting. We're getting a update from FSA on, I believe, December the 10th or the 5th. Yeah, I think it's the 10th or the 15th, somewhere in there. 2 million acre difference. So I suppose how that plays out will go a long way to determine price direction between now and January.
Yeah, I don't understand how two different government agencies can be that far apart, but the ones reported to them that they're going to report December 15th might not be finalized till mid-January.
Okay. Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. December corn trading 380 up 2.5. March is 393 up 2.75. July, 407 and 3/4 up 2.5. January beans, 1047.5 up 3.75. March, 1053.25 up 3.5. And July is 1063, now 63 even, now 1/4 and are up 3. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.